One of the seasonal things I'm routinely asked to do for media outlets I work with is to come up with a list of healthy holiday gift ideas. I don't know about you, but when I go gift shopping, I'm usually not thinking about buying something healthy. I'm usually thinking about buying something I would like to get. In fact, I have a very expensive habit of buying a gift for someone and then getting one for me. Anyway, I was asked to come up with gift ideas for my regular segment on the WGN Morning News in Chicago. So I'm going to share that list with you, along with a few bonus gifts that were not exactly appropriate for a morning news show. I'm Dr. Lauren Stryker, a gynecologist, best-selling author, and a nationally recognized menopause expert. When it comes to menopause, midlife, and what comes after, I'm betting you've not gotten a lot of information from your own doctor. If women are given good information, they'll make good choices, and I'm here to give you the inside information. There were two criteria to make it to this list. One, it had to be something that I already own or would like to own. Second, there had to be a scientifically proven health benefit to using these items, which immediately eliminated the fabulous to-die-for pair of suede boots I've been eyeing. Although it's not a total stretch that happiness is good for health, and I would be very happy if someone got me those boots. I want to mention that none of these products have paid me, and I get nothing for mentioning them. But if they're listening, I'm happy to accept any money or gifts they might want to send me in gratitude. First on my list is a mocktail recipe book. Here's the thing. There's been a real trend for people either to stop drinking or drink less, which is a good thing. I think most people, whether they act on it or not, are aware that alcohol is not particularly good for humans. Beyond the empty calories and contributing to chronic insomnia, alcohol is linked to cardiovascular disease, liver disease, stroke, and significantly increases the risk of breast cancer and other cancers. Interestingly, the no or low alcohol approach is mostly trending in the 18 to 34-year-old crowd. Older adults, if anything, are drinking more. And if I'm going to be totally honest, over the last couple of years, I have fallen into the drinking a little more group. Here's the thing. My husband and I love to cook, and we love to eat out. And I realized that having cocktails and wine with dinner had gone from a couple of times a week to almost every night. Aside from the negative impact on my health, it's hypocritical of me to drink that much, since every day I tell women that they should try and cut down on their alcohol intake. So while my goal was not to completely eliminate alcohol from my life, I knew I needed to drink less. I was kind of curious about non-alcoholic cocktails, and this is where it gets creepy. Somehow, my browser knew what I was thinking, because suddenly every other ad that popped up was from Ritual, the company that makes alcohol-free spirits. But their algorithm worked, since I went out and bought a bottle of Ritual Scotch and a bottle of Ritual Vodka. So I got home and poured myself a little fake scotch on the rocks and literally gagged with my first sip. It was vile. So I dumped it. Ditto the vodka. But then someone told me that those non-alcoholic spirits are not meant to be drunk by themselves. They're meant to be used with a mixer to make a mocktail. And sure enough, I made myself a spicy Bloody Mary using Ritual Vodka, and it wasn't bad. On Thanksgiving, during cocktail hour, instead of having two gin and tonics, I had two fake gin and tonics, and then some wine with dinner, real wine. So I ended up drinking half what I normally would. And since then, I have dramatically cut down on my alcohol consumption. I've been sleeping better and also lost around 4 pounds without making any other changes. You don't need to eliminate alcohol from your life, but substituting mocktails for cocktails will cut down on consumption, which is particularly challenging to do during the holidays. And not that it's anyone's business, but you don't need to explain why you're not drinking, since no one will know. So gift idea number one is a mocktail recipe book with a bottle of non-alcoholic vodka, and maybe throw in some Waterford Crystal barware. A beautiful glass always makes things taste better. Next up is a foldable bike helmet. 62% of all head injuries and fatalities from bike accidents occur because the person riding the bike wasn't wearing a helmet. In the United States, 80,000 people a year visit emergency rooms for cycling-related injuries. Most are head injuries, and most occur in people who weren't wearing a helmet. Over 1,000 bicyclists die every year. What really kills me is when I see a family out for a bike ride and the kids are all wearing helmets, but the parents aren't. Not only is this sending a terrible message that helmets are just for kids, but think how traumatic it would be for those kids if their parents have an accident. They will never be able to unsee their dad's brains splattered all over the street. Contrary to what you may think, the highest risk group for head injuries are not crazy messengers careening down the street. They wear a helmet. The highest risk group are folks between the ages of 55 to 69. Now, I think there are three reasons people don't wear helmets. First, it looks a little nerdy. I get that. But face it, how many 60-year-olds on a bike look sophisticated and stylish? So get over it. The second is, a lot of people say their helmet is uncomfortable. You know, think of your helmet like you think of a bra. If your bra was uncomfortable, would you get one that fit properly and adjust the straps so they weren't digging into your shoulders, or just go braless? And the third reason that people don't wear a helmet is that once you get off the bike, nobody wants to carry around a big old helmet. I ride my bike all the time. When you live in a big city, jumping on a bike is almost always faster than driving, and you never have to worry about parking. But I have spent enough time hanging around emergency rooms that I would be terrified to ride without a helmet, which is why I use this incredibly cool foldable bike helmet made by a company named Overaid. My Overaid helmet folds up to the size of a cantaloupe and is easy to toss in my purse or backpack. I've been using my fold-up helmet for years, and aside from the obvious benefit of protecting my brains, I tend to ride more often, including jumping on a city bike instead of calling an Uber when I'm tired of walking. As an aside, it's also an excellent way to meet people, since whenever I get off my bike and fold up my helmet, someone inevitably stops me and asks me where I got it. So this is the perfect gift for anyone who rides a bike, and is a particularly nice gift for the single cyclist who would like to meet other single cyclists. As my friend Bella Gandhi, the dating coach, says, it's always a good idea to have a prop that makes it easy for someone to start a conversation. Next up in my healthy holiday gift list is a sleep mask. Up to 60% of postmenopause women have insomnia. Between hot flashes, aches and pains, jumping up to pee all night, sleep apnea, and the snorer in the bed next to you, it's amazing that that number is not closer to 100%. And while sleep is important for everyone, there was a recent study that midlife women that persistently get less than 5 hours of sleep have up to a 75% increased risk of cardiovascular disease, even when there's adjustment for other risk factors like family history. So yeah, it's important to fix the flashes, your overactive bladder, and tell the snorer to get a sleep study, but it's just as important to do things like keeping the room cool, eliminating noise, and blocking out ambient light. And that's where a sleep mask comes in. I have become addicted to using a sleep mask. It looks ridiculous, but I don't care. The only one that sees me is my husband, and he's part of the reason I need a sleep mask, since he's the one that insists on watching Jimmy Kimmel's monologue every night before he goes to sleep. He wears ear pods, but there's still that eerie glow from his iPad. Even when he's not there, I just sleep so much better with my eye mask. It's not just me. Scientific studies have shown that even a teeny bit of ambient light can sabotage the ability to get good REM sleep. And sleep masks are the best way to block out those slivers of light coming through the window, along with the glow of whatever electronic devices are spying on you in your bedroom. And then there's your phone. I admit, my phone sleeps right next to me. How else can I play Words with Friends at 3 a.m.? But your sleep mask will at least keep you from being tempted to check out incoming texts, which in most cases are just from strangers asking you to rate a recent purchase or experience. I literally got a text from Home Depot to rate the extra large bottle of laundry soap I'd bought that day. But it's not just about sleeping through the night and feeling more rested. In a 2023 NIH study, wearing an eye mask overnight improved memory and alertness the next day. We can all use some of that. While sleep masks that say things like go away or the creepy ones with wide open eyes make fun gifts, what's really nice are silk sleep masks. You've probably been inundated with ads from Bliss that knows that you're thinking about buying a sleep mask. Bliss advertises that their silk sleep masks will de-puff your face, plump your skin, and decrease wrinkles. Wow. So wear a Bliss mask and evidently no need for Botox or a facelift, except none of that is true. And just to be sure, I asked my go-to dermatologist expert, Dr. Ellen Gendler, who confirmed that even the most expensive silk eye mask will not give you a more youthful, wrinkle-free face. So don't believe anything the Bliss people say on their website. But silk eye masks do feel nice. I got mine on sale at Saks OFF 5TH for about $15. Moving on. A few months ago, I did a podcast episode with Dr. Vonda Wright, an orthopedic surgeon who has coined the term musculoskeletal syndrome of menopause. In case you missed that episode, according to Dr. Wright, more than 70% of women will experience musculoskeletal symptoms and 25% will be disabled by musculoskeletal changes through the transition from perimenopause to postmenopause. Symptoms like joint pain, loss of muscle mass, loss of bone density, frozen shoulder, and progression of osteoarthritis. All of this increases the risk of osteoporosis, fracture, and frailty down the road. So aside from the long-recognized benefits of resistance training when it comes to cardiovascular health, resistance training is particularly important for menopausal women. Core strength, muscle size, endurance, stability. If you're going to do some form of exercise to decrease the chance that you'll become frail as you age and end up in a nursing home, resistance training is the way to go. Dr. Wright specifically advises that resistance training with heavier weights in lower repetition sets tends to increase muscular power more effectively than training with lighter weights in higher repetition sets. But here's the thing. How many people have room for a full set of free weights at home or belong to a gym that they actually get to on a regular basis? So here's my gift idea. A set of resistance bands. Resistance bands are easy to store, pack, and even keep at your desk. Multiple studies show that strength training with resistant bands can be just as effective as strength training with free weights. There are tons of exercises that can be done either sitting or standing, and I like the cloth resistant bands that don't dig into or pinch your skin like the rubber ones. If you're willing to spring for a more expensive gift, I highly recommend a walking pad. Years ago, I developed upper back and neck pain, which was from a combination of bending over an operating table all day and then hunching over my desk for hours every evening, writing my first book, The Essential Guide to Hysterectomy. When I got a nice advance for my second book, Sex RX, I took some of that money and invested in a treadmill desk. Life-changing. In my acknowledgments, after thanking my editor and family for all their support, I thanked my treadmill desk. Quick story. About 2 years after SexRx was published, my treadmill desk broke, which was not surprising since I'd walked roughly 1,000 miles over the course of 4 years. I called the company, and despite their best efforts to troubleshoot over the phone, they couldn't get it going again. So they said, okay, we're going to run it by a manager and get back to me. An hour later, I get a call from the owner of the company, and he says, are you Lauren Stryker that wrote SexRx? So I said, yeah, that's me. And he said, that book saved my marriage. I'm sending you a new treadmill desk. I was stunned, not just that he was going to send me a new desk, but that my book made that kind of a difference in someone's life. Unlike a patient in the office that I regularly see and know what happens, books are different. You write this stuff, you put it out there, and have no idea if someone actually reads what you wrote and if it had an impact. Anyway, I eventually burned through that desk too. My most recent purchase is a foldable walking pad, which lives under my standing desk. When I'm not using it, it easily folds in half and fits completely under my desk so my husband doesn't trip over it, which he really appreciates. I spend enough time at my desk that even if I'm only walking at 1.5 to 2 miles an hour, I easily get in at least 7,000 steps a day, which, by the way, is all you need for heart health. That 10,000 steps that you hear about was a made-up number, and studies have shown that there's no additional benefit as far as cardiovascular health once you get over 7,000 steps. It might help with weight loss or toning your muscles, but for cardiovascular health, 7,000 is all you need, about 3.5 miles. All right, so now I'm going to get into the edgier, sexier gifts that did not make it to the morning news, starting with a new vibrator. It's always a gift that's appreciated. Maybe not for your boss. But look, over 50% of menopause women have difficulty having an orgasm due to changes in clitoral nerve endings. When that happens, a vibrator isn't a toy. It's a tool to facilitate the ability to orgasm. I mean, yeah, you can buy a cheap vibrator at the corner store, but this is a gift. So I would think you want to give something a little more special, like the Elixir Play Amethyst. Not only a lovely product, but Elixir Play is a small woman-owned company. And I think it's important to support women-owned companies that make nice products. Next up, Who doesn't love a bauble? The Vesper is a very cool necklace that doubles as a vibrator on the go. Crave, the company that makes the Vesper, really owes me a major thank you, since not only do I frequently buy this as a gift for many of my friends, but I've promoted it on media outlets for years. Never got as much as a thank you or a gift card from them. Hello, it's not too late. Finally, another very thoughtful and useful gift is a lube warmer. Think about it. Freezing cold lubricant on the vulva is not only unpleasant, but cold is a vasoconstrictor. Decreasing blood flow to the vaginal walls is not going to help a vagina that's already on the dry side, which is why you're using lube in the first place. Heat is a vasodilator, which facilitates arousal and lubrication. Penises also prefer warm things. It's the rare guy that can maintain an erection when his penis is buried in snow. I don't know if that's ever really been studied. I'm just guessing. But my point is, warm lube makes the experience nicer for everyone. And just to be clear, I'm not talking about lubricants that chemically heat things up. I'm talking about lubricants that have been warmed up. But warning, the microwave is not the way to go, since things might get a little too warm. Instead, check out lotion or massage oil warmers on Amazon as an inexpensive way to always have nice, warm silicone lubricant ready to go. So to review, lots to pick from. We've got the Mocktail Book and Ritual Vodka, Silk Sleep Mask, Resistance Bands, a foldable bike helmet, a walking pad, a fabulous vibrator or vibrator necklace, and a lube warmer, which can also be used if you want to warm some massage oil or skin lotion. And finally, you can always buy a gift subscription to a health podcast or a Substack. And speaking of Substack, the transcript of this podcast will be on my Substack, substack.com/@DrStryker, along with links to these gifts and a video of me demonstrating my really cool helmet, my folding desk, and my resistance bands. Not the vibrators. Definitely not the vibrators. I'm Dr. Lauren Stryker, and thank you for joining me. You will find lots more information in my Inside Information books available on Amazon.com. And follow Francie as she navigates her way through vaginal dryness, hot flashes, and pretty much every menopausal symptom you can think of.
Sometimes I feel blue. She helped me see the light.